I am so thankful to be here this morning. As has already was said during prayer request, I am so thankful for this day and for this sunshine. Y'all might hear me speak of it often, but something about these kind of days and these temperatures and this time of year just kind of makes something bubble up inside of me, and it makes me realize the goodness of the Lord. Of course, every day that the Lord gives us is a good day. But these kind of days and these kind of opportunities to be able to meet together on a day like today is just something very special about it. I feel in much need of the Lord this morning. We have a thought we'd like to share with you. A very simple thought, but I feel like a very important one. I'll write some words on the board. I've written on the board, to follow. And a simple definition would be to go or come after a person or thing that is proceeding ahead. So to go or come after a person or a thing proceeding ahead. So I'll start off this morning by asking a question. Are you a follower? Are you a follower? And I can answer that question for you. You are a follower. You are following something. Or someone. Hopefully you're following someone. We'll get to that. But you're following something from the very youngest in here this morning to the very oldest. You're following something. Or someone. People follow many things in this life. Many follow, we hear often referred to, money, fame, and fortune. We can follow what's popular. We can follow the crowd. We can follow trends. We can follow our dreams. We're told to reach for the stars, and if you can dream it big enough, that if you try hard enough, that you can follow the things necessary in this life to get there. You can follow your desires. You can follow your wishes. A child can follow in a parent's footsteps, in daddy's footsteps. How often have we heard the term, you can just do what your gut tells you to do. You can follow your instinct or your natural feelings about something. And you can also follow your heart. And I guess that's kind of what I want to focus on a little bit this morning. Not necessarily following the heart, but following the things that the heart yearns for. And so the question is, are we following this morning? Or what are we following this morning? What is our heart desiring? What is our heart reaching out for as we live this life? And because really we do. We have so many things laid out in front of us as we go through life, and we are bombarded with so many choices and so many different opportunities to do things. And Lord, give us wisdom to know how to pick and choose through those things and put them in their proper perspective, in their proper order. But most importantly, not just the things in this life, but who am I following? Is my heart putting the Jesus? Am I following after Jesus? Is Jesus number one? So I'd like to add a word to follow, but to follow
Jesus.
I'd like to start off by looking at a scripture in Matthew chapter 4. A very popular story here. Matthew 4, starting at verse 18. Story of Matthew's recording of Jesus calling his disciples. Matthew 4 and 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. So, a beautiful little story here. Jesus comes along and finds these men and calls out to them and says, follow me. And when I first read this, it seems so simple what they did. Jesus comes along and I feel like I would have done the same thing. But perhaps they had heard of Jesus. Perhaps they had heard some talking and they knew a little bit about him. Maybe they didn't. The scripture doesn't say here. But they had something at this point in the conversation. They had something that they knew who he was. They knew he was of some importance. And Jesus calls out to them and says, follow me. And that seems so simple. But what they had to do to follow him is what I want to get a hold of this morning. It says they straightway left their nets and followed him. And the other set of people, it says they left the ship and their father and followed him. They were doing something that was very important to them. They were living out their livelihood. They were doing this to provide a living for. We read all through the scripture. We knew that they were fishermen. That was their profession. Jesus comes along and calls them to follow him. And what did they have to do? In order to follow him, there had to be some action on their part. They had to leave their situation, their current situation, and put forth some action to move forward in order to follow. They had to leave something that they were comfortable with. They left their father. They left the things that they knew. They left the things that they loved. There had to be a change in order to follow. How would it be if Jesus would have come along and said, follow me, and then they would have said, Lord, I want to follow you, but I want to follow you from right here. It doesn't work that way. In order to follow the Lord when he calls, there has to be a change from the circumstance, from the situation that I'm in right now. And if he calls out to me, I have to come out of where I'm at in order to follow. It's so very simple and basic it seems. But I feel like that's the thing that so many people get confused in their mind. If Brother Nelson were to walk to the back of the chapel and ask me to follow him out the door down to the end of the road, And I said, I'm going to follow you, but I'm going to follow you from right here. It doesn't make any sense because I'm not changing what I'm doing or where I'm going. I'm staying here and I'm going to stay and I'm going to continue to do the same things. So obviously that's not following. They had to leave. They had to do something different than what they were currently doing. You know, they could have desired to follow. They could have wanted to follow. They could have seen Jesus. But in order to truly follow, they had to do something. When I think these sort of thoughts, I think about the story of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus. And he knew in order to do that, he had to climb up in the tree in order to see Jesus in the crowd. And Jesus comes along. And Jesus looks up in the tree and he sees Zacchaeus. And he knew the desires of Zacchaeus' heart. And Zacchaeus wanted to see him, but Jesus wanted something more than Zacchaeus just to be able to see him. And that's why Jesus told Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down. Let us go to your house. Follow me to your house." I'm paraphrasing here, but come on, let's do something more than you just sitting in a tree looking at me. There's something more that the Lord wants from us. He wants us to do more than just to have a desire, than just to see Him or see the goodness of the Lord and to see the wonderful things and to see His creation and to enjoy the sunshine. All those are beautiful things and they have their place. But the Lord wants us to take action, to make a change of who we are and to move forward in order to follow. It says they left their ship. Again, something that they depended on. They depended on them nets. They depended on their ship. They were mending their nets with their father. They depended on their family. And those things all have their place. But there was something of more importance that the Lord wanted from them. And again, I feel that so many today have a desire to follow and they want to follow, but fail to understand that a change has to take place. And you don't have to look very far to see these types of things. How many people do you work with on a daily basis or interact with on a daily basis that want to put themselves in the category of being a Christian or make that profession, but yet you look at them and you look at somebody in the world that don't make a profession, and much of the time it's hard to see any differences. So much of the time there's so many similarities. I think of, it's been in the news recently, how many of you have heard of Asbury, Kentucky? The Asbury Revival. Now there's been some, well, Asbury Revival, it was just here recently, the beginning of February, for about 2 weeks, from February, I think, 28th to February 23rd was the official dates. They're on a campus in Kentucky. There was a little service there and it grew. The service grew and grew. People started coming from all over the world to take part in this. And I'm not here to talk against it or to talk for it. But in a 2 weeks time, 50,000 people came from all over the world to go to Asbury, Kentucky. Got on planes and left things behind to go have a part of this service. I tuned in. Okay, they had a live stream going the whole time. I tuned in a few times just out of curiosity. And there was much praise and worship singing. There were many hands raised. Altars were lined up. People were praying. And if you read into it, and if you follow the story, and if you listen to it, many come away saying that personal testimonies, lives were changed, and people recommitted their lives to the Lord, and I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that there was a cry, and that 50,000 people flooded Asbury, Kentucky. Now there have been many controversial things on it. Many have gone for it and many are against it and said that it was not a true revival. Wherever you stand on it, 50,000 people and in 2 weeks' time going to sing and pray and talk about the Lord, it's a staggering number. But I wonder, those 50,000 people that left so much to go there and to be part of that experience and to be filled with, careful when I say this, with that emotion and that feeling of being there and to be part of it and to follow the crowd and all those types of things. And the altars were lined up and hands were raised and singing. But did they walk away changed? Because it would be so easy to go there. That's what everybody's doing. That's what everybody's talking about. And it's so easy to go there and just to get caught up in the emotion. But did any of them, and I pray that they did, but out of 50,000 people, how many walked away from Asbury, Kentucky different than when they arrived? How many truly went down and come before the Lord humbly and ask the Lord, Lord, change me, change who I am, change the way that I think. Lord, help me to see the things in my life that you want me to see. Or did they go there and it was a great experience and for a few days I feel wonderful and I feel bubbly inside and are they going back home? Are they trying to do things different? Did they leave some things behind as the Lord has told us that we have to do? Did they give some things up as the Lord has told us that we have to do? Again, I am very thankful for something like that happening. And I truly believe with all my heart, out of 50,000 people, that someone got a hold of something special. And someone truly did have their heart changed. But I want us to realize the importance. When God calls us to Himself, it requires us to move. It requires us to change. It requires us to do something different. So what needs to change? What needs to change in order to follow? Let's look at Mark chapter 10. Again, another very familiar story. Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 17, story of the rich young ruler. Verse 17 says, "And when he had gone forth into the way," talking about Jesus here, "there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God.' And Jesus looks at the man and he speaks to him and he says, 'Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother.' And the man looks up at Jesus and it says, 'And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth.'" How easy do you think it is sometimes when we feel the Lord calling us or wanting something from us to change something in our lives? How easy is it sometimes to pull out my checklist? I see this quite often in the work world. And if you get in these conversations with these people who really don't make a profession, but they just kind of like to think that they're kind of in the middle of things. They don't want to think that they're really bad people and they do bad things, but they don't really want to commit to following Jesus and having to do all the things that they think is necessary in order to follow. But they want to just kind of hang out in the middle a little bit. And many times I find in these conversations it's so easy for these types of people to kind of reach into their pocket and pull out their checklist. And they know just enough, of what the Bible says we should and we shouldn't do. For instance, most know the Ten Commandments. Most are very familiar with them. And they can go through the checklist. And if you strike up these conversations where they say, well, I don't do this, and I definitely don't do this, and this is not part of my life, and they start to go through their checklist. And many times, these type of people, the Lord will call them or want something deeper. And it can be so very easy to say, Lord, all these things I've done for my youth. No, I don't kill. I don't steal. I don't do all these things. I'm following all the rules. Dear ones, it's more than a bunch of do's and don'ts. And as we read on, we find out it's so much deeper than just having a list in front of me of things that I'm allowed to do or things that I can't do. It gets so much deeper. This young man thought he had it all figured out. He said, Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus goes through this, well, Lord, I've done all those things. But we read on, and Jesus says, thou knowest the commandments, do not do all these things. He said, Master, I have observed all these from my youth. Lord, I've grown up knowing all these things. It says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing that thou lackest. I think how beautiful that this is, that Jesus, out of love, loved him and looked at him and said, look, I understand you have done these things. You have kept all these things. But one thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me. And this is the sad part of the story. It says, he went away grieved, for he had many possessions. You know, we read this story in, we read in this, the rich young ruler. He had great possessions, very wealthy young man. But I think this story goes a lot deeper than having money. I think the Lord was dealing with this man's heart. This is where this man's heart was. It was in his possessions. But I don't believe this story is trying to tell us that we have to go empty our bank accounts and put all our money in one basket and bring it up here and set it on the altar. Sell everything we have, go give it all away to the poor. That's what Jesus was requiring of this individual. Because that's where his heart was. That's what his heart was yearning for. That's what he desired. That's what he was working towards. And the Lord saw that. And although this young man had kept this list of all these things that he thought that he was supposed to do and not do, the Lord looked down and said, no. There's something else holding you out. And it's a hard issue. In your case, it's money. The ones we can have, it says he went away sorrowfully, he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You know, we can have great possessions without having anything in our bank account. You know, we can possess many things that the Lord doesn't want to see part of our lives. You think about what's the word? character traits. You think of all these personalities that people have. Jealousy. We can possess anger. We can possess laziness, proudness, impatience, selfishness, all these things. You know, we can possess these things. This man had the desire for money. But there are many things in our life that we can have or that we can do that would the effect they can have on our lives can cause us to have these types of personalities. And we can have great things, and yes, we can have literal things. I can have money, I can have things, and I can have the best of everything. But I don't have to have just things. The Lord might not be requiring me to give up my things. I might not have anything. But I can have things in my heart, things that I'm made up of, things that take more priority over Jesus. He said, get rid of your possessions. Get rid of the things that you think you need. Get rid of the things that you think are the way that they should be. Jesus says, take up the cross and follow me. Take up the cross and follow me. So again, here Jesus is reaching out to someone and saying, follow me. Come on, look, I want you to come. I'm giving you an invitation. But he told him he had to do something first. Take up thy cross. And there's so much that could be said about take up thy cross. But in the short, we look at the cross. Jesus bore his cross. And we know what the cross stands for. It's death, it's crucifixion, it's dying. Take up thy cross. Would Paul say, I am crucified with Christ? What did he mean by that? I'm dead to the things of this world. I'm dead to myself. I'm dead to what I'm made up of. Every way seemeth right to a man. Everything that I think that I need, I'm dead to that. That I take up the cross with Jesus, that I put away, that I change. That there is some action on my part. That it's not that I come here or that I come to some revival and I become involved with everything that's going on and I get wrapped up in everything that's going on. But that I take up my cross and that the Lord can help me to see what my desires are and who I am. And that I can come and once I take up my cross and start following Jesus. Once I take action and do that, that from that point forward, that something different has taken place. Self-denial, taking up the cross. I'm still thinking taking up the cross and self-denial and stop doing things that gratify the flesh and again, material things. But maybe not material things, things in my life, things that Jesus wants. Surrender and sacrifice. That's how the change takes place. Is where I come to the place and I said, Lord, not me. This is not who you want me to be. But that I can come and that I can surrender and I can sacrifice. That I can commit, but not just a partial commitment. But that I can walk away and that I have given him everything of myself. Not just the things that's easy to give him. Not just the things that's convenient to change. But everything. That's how the change has to take place. That there is surrender. That there is sacrifice. That I give him my everything in order to change. Did I leave this person behind? Did I crucify this person, who I am? And that from that point forward, a change has taken place, and that there's a new me, that there is a new heart, that the Lord has done something in me to change me. And my last little thought is, when we think to follow Jesus and we think of discipleship, of how this has to be a continuous action, how this has to be an every day of my life action. To follow the Lord, yes, yes, He did come along and He called them away from that boat. He called them away from their nets. He called them away from the things that they were comfortable with. But they continue to follow. They continue to have a desire to want to learn more. Even after Jesus left this world, they continue to go out and to work and to follow the Lord. And so many times, again, so many times out in the world, I think people are of the mind that it's a one and a done, it's a one and done type thing. That I can, I'm talking outside of these walls, outside of our network of people. That people will go and they'll say, okay, I did all the right things. Again, I did all the right things. I went through my checklist. I came before the Lord. I repented. He saved me. And that was it. But now I can, maybe there was a change. But so many are of the mind that, but now I can go do, and I can just do what I want to do. And if you watch closely, some of these things will start to creep back in. Some of these things that maybe we did change from. Following Jesus is a continual dying to self. A continual daily taking up my cross. A continual, I'm saying it over and over, a continual change. That I am constantly striving each and every day to make sure that I am doing what is necessary or what the Lord is requiring of me. Again, so many, I feel, want to just be somewhere in the middle. They don't do all these things, but yet they don't really put forth purpose and effort to really push to see what the Lord would have for them in their lives and to continually work to draw closer to Him. But they would rather just kind of hang out in the middle. Dear ones, the Lord doesn't want us to just hang out in the middle. Aren't there scriptures about being lukewarm? He doesn't want us lukewarm. He doesn't just... We all are of the mind. We know. Most of us here have been raised in the truth. We know what we should and shouldn't do. But yet we know what is required of us to make heaven our home. But I wonder if sometimes we just get comfortable just hanging out in the middle. Dear ones, the Lord is calling us to follow. And that means, yes, that means coming from a life of sin, coming before Him and repenting and asking Him to come into my life and save me. Yes, it means coming out of that and into a new life. But then once I get into that new life, it means that I'm going to continue to do things in order to draw close to Him. It doesn't mean I come to the middle section and just hang out for a while. And just get comfortable of where I'm at. But no, the Lord is still wanting us to move. To make forward progress. We refer to this often. It's so easy to say all the right things and do all the right things. It's so easy to go to the places that again, maybe where the crowd goes and what's popular. But Jesus said in one scripture, you know, not everybody that does all those things, not everybody that says all the right things, I think he said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. It's going to take more than just having a little list in front of me, and every day I wake up, so okay, well, I'm not doing any of those things today. I must be okay. It's going to take more than going to Asbury, Kentucky, and being caught up in a movement. And if that's what the Lord directed and laid on the hearts of people, and they found something, thank the Lord for that. But it's going to take more than just going with big crowds and going to the right places. It's going to take more than just saying, Lord, Lord, and acknowledging Him. It's going to take more than just seeing Him, as Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus wanted to see Him. But Jesus said, no, there's more. Come out of the tree and let's go to your house. Let's talk about some things. Zacchaeus, I want more for you. There's more. You can do more than see me. He comes along with the disciples and has a conversation. I'm Jesus. But there's more for you. I want you to come out of your boat. Come out of your ship. Leave your father. Leave your mother. Quit mending your nets because I have more. I have more in store for you. I want you to follow me. Dear ones, He has more for you. Wherever we are in our walk of life, there's more. There is more available. If we have not come to the point in our lives where we have not come humbly before Him or knelt down before Him and repented and told Him we're sorry, there's more. If you are somewhere in the middle, there's more. If you're the oldest person in this building this morning and you have served Jesus from a little bitty child, there's more. There is more available, but it's going to require us to put forth action, to move from this spot and continually follow after Jesus. And yes, that might mean to constantly leave some things behind, to change some things, to constantly change some things. That's where we have to seek the Lord and ask Him to show us, to lead us, direct us. It's different for each and every. Yes, there are things that we all have to follow that we don't do and that we, Lord, help us to seek the Lord, for He wants for us each individually. That I can know personally what He wants for me, that I might draw closer to Him. That I might know personally, Lord, what do You want me to do? What do You want me to lay down? What do You want me to put aside? What do You want me to leave behind? Lord, help us all to know how to follow Jesus. Amen.